This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man. What an enthusiastic greeting, dude. I feel so connected, so honored. You're like, man, that really excited to be with us today. That's great, dude.
Yeah, man, 100%. Look, I don't know about you, but I've been having a bit of a day. You know, yeah. you ever have like a bit of a day?
Just a bit of a day on a Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been interesting because today I've been trying to compartmentalize life and like, okay, this day is dedicated to this and this day is dedicated to this and this day, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And the great thing about Mondays is Monday is one of the rare days where everything on my plate, I know how to do and I know how to do well, right? Hmm. Like there's a lot of like stretch projects and things going on and right now and things I'm having to kind of educate myself in. And they're really stressful, to be honest. But Monday is the day I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to focus on what I don't know. I'm going to knock out everything I do know.
You
but
feel
today's
like on Mondays, you can be kind of a pro, like
yeah,
end of
exactly.
the week, like on a with authority. You know what I mean?
Start strong. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thing is, man, today's been one of those days that like I get something done, which is a great feeling. But then like I look at my email and like suddenly there's like 20 new emails and then I'm like working on the next thing and my phone keeps going off. And of course I think it's the family with like the niece pictures or something like that. But no, it's like 20 different people texting me. And some people are very, very kindly checking in on me, which is always like a, you know, like an orange flag or something of that nature.
What do you want?
it's like, hey, you doing okay? You doing good? And I'm like, I don't have time to respond to this. So that's probably not a good way to not respond. But anyway, yeah, so it's just been a busy day, but it's been a good day.
That's
man,
good.
It's been a busy day.
that's all right. Man? That's all right. Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good around the old pipe shop here. It's interesting. You know, of course, we kind of had a lot of, you know, Christmas sales earlier in the year and than we normally get. You know, it seems like that kind of ramped up a little early. Just folks probably sitting around trying to figure out what on earth they're going to do and are bored for the holidays and are like, well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and buy myself a present. And
right.
So we've had some of that and that's kind of continued. It's been a robust Christmas year. So a holiday year so far. So really, really good. Got a whole bunch of Meerschaums in and some of those have been added to our website. We are getting more Meerschaums on our website this week. Again, just to, you know, peel the curtain back, we talk about this sometimes, but like folks, you know, we have a podcast and, you know, folks hear us and, you know, talk to us every week and, you know, we blend tobaccos and send them all over the world and all this kind of stuff. So people think we're some kind of sophisticated organization.
Oh, yeah. High end. I mean, like this massive, like, back end area warehouse.
We don't have a warehouse. We don't have a forklift. Like, there's no 401k.
Listen,
like, no,
no, no, no. You know, John David, hang on now. You have moved up in the world, okay? Because I saw the original Country Squire, okay? Like the new one. I mean, granted, it's not, you know,
it's not the old one.
It's not the old one. And so, like your warehouse, you don't have a warehouse, no, but you don't have a closet. Well, you don't have a small closet. You don't have
a broom closet.
Yeah, exactly. So you've moved up
for
sure.
Well, you know, I guess what I'm getting at here is like I'm the only full-time person that works in the shop, you know, and
right,
so
yeah.
A lot of folks this year they've been like, "Man, your website content, you know, you have a beautiful website and obviously we can order all of your house blends and that's great, but you don't seem to keep up your pipe inventory very well." You know, so there's always a bunch of out of stock pipes and, you know, man, the same pipes have been on there for months and it's like, what's going on? And I guilty as charged, man, because it's just me.
It's hard to keep up. Yeah,
it is, man. We're kind of getting to the point where it's like, man, I've got to get someone in here to help do some online inventory related stuff. Our webmaster, Pylorns, obviously he does a great job, but
incredible.
Man,
yes.
He doesn't have time to, you know, measure the dimensions of pipes and get them posted to the internet and categorize them and all this kind of stuff and take photos and upload them. And yeah, it's just a process, man. And this year has been so bonkers that I'm kind of falling behind. So today has been some catch up on that and just trying to push the ball forward, you know, just here at the end of the year. So it's, you know, it's exciting.
I mean, in the coming year could Obi-Wan be taking a Luke under his wing?
We may need a Luke under the old Obi-Wan wing.
We haven't had an intern here in a long time, man, for the show. And I mean, like, you know, there's
no, that's true.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, young John David got started as the manager of the Country Squire. Now older John David is the owner of the Country Squire. I'm just saying, man, you know, at some point, if he needs some help.
You know, it really is funny just sitting here as we're talking about this and, you know, I'm thinking about the pipe shop and our experience, you know, doing this. Like, if you've been with us for even, not just since the beginning, but even, you know, 5 years or 6 years, something like that, you know our story. Like, right, you've walked with us through this story. You know, it's really amazing. Like, you've been with me throughout the entire you know, process of, you know, coming to work at the shop and, you know, taking it over in tender times and then you know, developing it into, you know, something different with, God's help and through a lot of hard work and humility and, a lot of failure, but, and then, you know, continuing to see it grow and evolve and then purchasing the business. And it's just really neat, man. Our Country Squire Radio family has walked with me through that. And it's pretty special. I don't, you know, notice it or take advantage of that as often as I should. That, man, I've got a lot of people that have really, you know, really, really had my back through this whole thing.
Been rooting for you.
It's
absolutely
nice.
Well, listen, I think it's well known within the industry that we've got the most amazing listeners on the planet that tune into this show. And, you know, one of the great ways that, you know, they've been fueling you up to kind of be along for the ride, be rooting for you. And, you know, one of the things we like to do at Country Squire Radio on the end of the year is kind of take that energy and pay it forward, right? Like, we've got our best of 2020 special episode, which will be coming up here at the very, very tail end of the year. And this is a great opportunity for you, dear listener, to nominate who you found to be the best of in 2020 in the pipe tobacco world. You can nominate products like accessories, pipes, manufacturers, carvers, that sort of thing. You know, for products in particular, we're talking about tin tobacco, artisan blend, pipes. We're looking specifically for new products that entered into the market this last past year of 2020. And then in terms of, like, you know, tobacconists and the carvers or the manufacturers, the publications or the pipe club or community, the YouTuber, we're looking for people who are really exceptional, putting out, you know, exceptional content or whatever it may be in this past year, representing the industry and the community really, really well. So if you're interested in getting those nominations in for our best of 2020, head over to CountrySquireRadio.com. And you can do so now. We are about to close down those nominations, actually. I think let's say by next Monday, we might need to close them out. I don't know. Maybe that. I tell you what, I'm going to give it till next Wednesday. So you've got until December the 16th. December 16th to get those in, to ensure that you get those in on time. So,
excellent.
Head over to CountrySquireRadio.com to do that there.
Yeah, a lot of good feedback so far. And I love that this has become a thing. Folks are, you know, they nominate their favorite products that they use every day. They nominate, you know, friends in the industry, people they respect in the industry. We've had folks nominate, you know, competitors of you know, themselves. And, I love
right,
all that. I love
right,
the connectivity. And, you know, folks in the pipe industry are so generous. And, of course, there's a lot of hard work to be, you know, applauded over the past year. And we want to do that for this best of show.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Especially in this dumpster fire year that we've had.
Yeah, it's a good way to end in the year on a high note, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do. I think like there's like this collective mindset with 2020. It's been so bad. Let's just try to finish. Like, you know, there's the parentheses finish strong, but like, let's just try to finish
right.
You know, yeah. and consider the fact that we finished strong, because 2021 is not promised.
You know,
man, we're out here preaching and it's not even into the subject matter yet.
you know that saying that always, like, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know, it's
right.
a good
yeah.
saying. You know, and the organization that promotes that, it's a good thing. You know, but the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I had a boss that forever, you know, we would have these moments in conversation where things were just kind of weird or difficult, and there'd be a lull. And this particular boss, he would always just kind of break the silence by saying, "The mind is a terrible thing."
Ha 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 ha!
And that's it. It's just accurate. The mind is a terrible thing.
Oh,
and it
man.
Is. That's it really
great.
Is.
Well, man, we've got a great show that we're about to be jumping into here. One last thing, though, before we do, man, I know that, you know, speaking of kind of time dependent things and in the pipe industry, obviously every single year folks look forward to the amazing Christmas and holiday special blends that y'all put out.
Yeah.
What's the stock looking like?
Yeah, we're getting a little thin. We're getting a little thin
okay.
now. Yeah, we figured we would go through at least the middle of December, and that's probably about what we're gonna land. Our stock is getting kind of thinned out. We've had a really nice run on it this year, and folks, of course, it's a Christmas tradition where they get a few ounces of this, maybe 2 ounces for them, 2 ounces to put back for next year, and 2 ounces for a friend, something like that. And still have some in stock. So if you get an order in within the next week, we'll probably be able to fill that for you. But figgy pudding, cordial friends, and we even have some leftover pumpkin spice latte from the
oh
fall.
Oh my gosh! So, no. And you will for next year as well. So I mean, not I never bet against you, but it's pumpkin spice, and I will bet against pumpkin spice.
Yep. No. We really should like it. It should really come with like I don't know an iPhone and some UGG boots and. I'm just trying to think of all the basic suburban white girl stuff, like if we could encapsulate that into some kind of package, we really ought to look into that.
I mean, there might be a market there, just the Becky blend. I think that could be a thing, man.
And all our Becky listeners are gone.
No, I did disrespect pumpkin spice. So maybe we did lose them on that. Man, we've got a great, great show that we're going to be diving into here. This is a subject matter that we kind of floated nervously a couple weeks back. And that is the subject of pipe smoking pastors. Now, I feel like to even like dive into this subject matter, we need to give a little bit of context. One of the things longtime listeners have picked up, because obviously we're not shy about it. We're not beating you over the head over it, but we're not shy about the fact that, John David and I, we're both people of faith. We're both Christians. If you've been listening to the last couple of episodes and the quick fire questions, you know that we both originate from a Reformed tradition. It's like, you can kind of figure out who we are from, or at least where our faith,
our poor non-believing or our poor non-Christian friends that have had to put up with all these Calvinist version Arminianist,
that's the thing.
Questions. Just get throw us the bone for this past couple weeks, okay? And really, just blame it all on Eric.
Blame it on Eric. That's exactly right. And take heart, especially to our either non-believing or our non-Christian friends who are out there who are listening. There were several Christian friends who were quite offended by our answers. So just know that chaos and turmoil ensued. And on that note, pipe smoking pastors.
So we
both brought up in the church, and I'm kind of curious, John David, you when growing up, I don't think I know this about you. What denomination were y'all kind of coming from as a kid?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually did not grow up in the church. So, became a Christian in college. There was a ministry called Reformed University Fellowship.
I still consider us as in college as kids. Is that
bad? Well, I guess so. I mean, that's right. But, just all the little, going to Sunday school as a kid and church camps and
all that kind of stuff.
I didn't do any of that stuff, became a Christian in college and then later got active in the Presbyterian world, and then eventually found the road to Canterbury and started pursuing the Anglican tradition, and so that's where I'm at. But more than anything, just glad I'm here and not anywhere else.
That's right. So I grew up in the Presbyterian church. Now my mom and her side of the family is very, very Catholic. And my dad's side of the family grew up in the Presbyterian church. So I'm like, I'm a multi-generational, I think third generation, PCA Presbyterian, have been up until very recently where I switched over to the EPC, but I still kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously Presbyterians are still kind of in the same, pretty much the same wheelhouse. And as I like to say, you could take the boy out of the Presbytery, but you can't take the Presbytery out of the boy. I mean, like, that's just the reality. You claim to be Anglican, but we all know you're a Presbyterian sitting in an Anglican church doing all this stuff.
Don't put that evil on me now.
I'm just saying, man, we know how that goes. No, but what's the saying that Baptists make great Presbyterians and Presbyterians make great Anglicans?
That's the saying. Baptists make the best Presbyterians, and Presbyterians make the best Anglicans.
That's right. Because if you go Anglican, that means you've mellowed out, so you're not just the worst anymore.
You've kind of gotten out of the cage stage.
Exactly. But yeah, man. So that's good, because that again lays the groundwork for kind of giving a kind of a picture of where kind of our personal faith traditions and also kind of where we are right now. While also royally offending several people at the exact same time. And if that's not Country Squire Radio, I guess I don't know what is. Pipe Smoking Pastors, man, we have had over the course of this show, pretty early on, I want to say, pastors writing into this show. Like it was becoming evident early on. Gosh, I don't know, man. I think in the first few episodes, again, we just kind of mentioned our faith. We didn't like, I'm a Christian and here's, you know, Jesus and let me draw on a napkin and show you the cross, which is a bridge. And like, there was not that we didn't do anything like that. I think we just made mention of like church or something of that nature. I can't even remember exactly what it was, but our faith came up in passing. And like, that was like the signal that sent out. And a lot of people were like, oh, you're Christian and you smoke a pipe. I'm Christian and I smoke a pipe, but I don't want anybody to know about it. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like all of a sudden we had a pretty strong audience of faith that had various feelings about the pipe, most of which good, but also just kind of in the way in which it was perceived within their own faith communities. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. There's something about whenever you hear someone just kind of casually mention something that's also important to you, it's almost like a dog whistle, right? Like your antennas go up and you're like, oh, well, I wonder what their story is behind that. Let me dig a little deeper. And so, we over the years have developed, a lot of friends and, different faith circles. And, and we had a lot of folks that were like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. The folks at my church or my seminary or wherever I'm at, we get together and smoke pipes and drink whiskey. And we had it from that all the way to, I'm a Baptist pastor and I love your podcast. And if you mention my name on air, I'll be defrocked.
Right. Exactly. Which is kind of crazy.
And I smoke my pipe under my bed. it's just a kind of a variety of responses there. But, it's neat to see the common thread that's there. And there is such a strong community of folks that are in the clergy or some type of ministry, and I kind of want to throw counseling in there too, and social work, and a lot of these helping careers where folks are dedicated. They've dedicated their life to the pastoral service of other people, and and the pipe is a part of their routine. It's a part of their ritual. It's a part of their fabric, and in some ways even informs their work. And I don't know. There's something there.
Yeah, man. You're making me want to do like a whole pipe culture series on like industries that have been like, deeply influenced by pipe smoking in some form or fashion. Because I think that there is definitely something there. And, I think it's worth pointing out as well. I mean, so we're going to be talking about pipe smoking pastors in this episode. And because of our context, that's where we have the most knowledge and experience. I would love, and as John David mentioned, we've got listeners and friends from various faith groups and communities who smoke pipes, and I'm sure that's a large part of even perhaps their community there, be it Muslim, Jewish, or whatever, atheist, whatever your faith
or lack of faith
or lack or whatever it may be. So if you've got stories, we'd love to hear that. But this episode, we're specifically talking about pipe smoking pastors because, again, that's where we've got kind of the most experience, and that's really kind of the world in which we reside. Because as good Christians that we are, we are members of churches and have some kind of relation, like pastoral relationship, right? I mean, like, I kind of am curious, when you were in college and you started going to church for the first time, what was kind of your perception of like the pastor, right? Like, I mean, I guess it's different because you're literally in a college town, so there's probably a little bit different than mine. So I'm curious, like when you saw the pastor, what were you, what was your thoughts of like, oh, that's the pastor?
Well, I think for me at the time, it was someone that was more, revered and studious and, knowledgeable, someone that had a lot of, study behind their, between their ears and, had dedicated their life to, serving the flock, but also, kind of boning up on a lot of the potential answers that, scripture holds towards life and, philosophy and worldview and everything else. I think back then I probably saw someone that was, relatively studious and learned and thoughtful.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Did you ever get a chance to get to know your pastor at all or meet personally or anything of that nature?
Yeah, a little bit in college. I did. We had a transition at the little church that I went to. And so knew to some degree the first pastor that was there and then got to know the second guy pretty well, who actually occasionally comes in now and buys cigars from me, which is kind of nice.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So as a little kid growing up in the church, so I grew up in a lot of church plants. Like my parents were really big on planting churches back in the day. And I mean, we would meet in Shriners wine clubs, like when they weren't meeting, or, kind of these random warehouses and that sort of thing. And they planted a few churches in Mississippi. And I've always had this concept of who the pastor was at first, growing up early on, as he was kind of this big personality that would come over to lunch sometimes, right? Because they would interview pastors, and it's interesting. I'm actually on the pastoral search committee at our church right now, and I'm finding kind of almost like a kindred to my parents, back when they were around my age, going out and seeking pastors for the churches they were part of, the church plants they were part of. But there was the pastors would come in and my mom would always make chicken pie
oh, the pastor's coming over. Got to get cleaned up.
Right. The chicken pie and, clean your room, get the house all shiny and all that kind of good stuff. But I think once we kind of, settled down, so to speak, in my teenage years and we were kind of at the same church, the perception of the pastor that we had in particular was this larger than life personality, right? He was up there and he was, laying out the word and everything else. And I think it's kind of combined with the fact that one, he was a pretty big personality, but two, I was a teenager at the time. And so there's that authority figure who's above you and that sort of thing. And,
And you're impressionable.
Well, you're impressionable, but if you're like me, you kind of want to bump the system back then, right? And I remember by the time I was more mature in my faith and just mature in general, meeting my pastor, I think one-on-one for the first time, just in a random encounter. I was walking out of a concert or something like that. And he was there and I kind of introduced myself and I'm like, how does this guy not know me? I go to his church. I'm like, yeah, but he's got hundreds of people that go to this church. He's not going to know me. And it was kind of this aha moment of pastors are just people. They're just people.
They're just people, man. They're just people. They have, in some cases, as many answers as we do. In some cases, less.
Man, yes.
They're people with, needs and desires for community and, folks that experience times of thoughtfulness and loneliness and, joy and grief and, certainty and doubt and all those things, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, no, and that's a huge, that's a huge realization, or kind of was a realization. I mean, most people might hear that and think, well, yeah, but part of that kind of growing up, when you have people put on pedestals like that, it can be kind of this illuminating moment. And it's also kind of it's a humbling moment too, because you realize, well, you're just a person too. And so the weight in which people put on, somebody in any given role, they may also be putting on you, but therein lies the charge to make sure you're humble about whatever it may be that you're doing. All that to say that I think that we, especially in the South, and this is probably true throughout, but especially in kind of the Bible Belt, there is a lot of pressure that's put on a pastor, right? To be a certain way, to carry themselves in a certain way, to be perceived a certain way, especially in certain denominations. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And even in public, if you're, out and about and someone, references the fact that you are, and, folks are looking well, is that person going to, what are they going to eat? What are they going to drink? What are they wearing today? Or how are they interacting with folks? And you kind of feel like you're in a crucible to some extent. You're representing a lot that's going on there. And so, you know, for the pipe smoking pastor, it can present some of its own challenges.
And for people outside of kind of, you know, Christianity, I mean, one of the things about, Christianity is it's very divided up. Like, we've got all of these various denominations, faith traditions, theological mindsets, ways of reading the gospel. But even beyond that, it's not merely theological. It's a culture. You know what I mean? Like, it's a subculture within a subculture, so to speak, that really can have some pretty strong dividing lines that kind of showcase, you know, all right. So just for example, we both kind of, you know, in kind of our formative years, were Presbyterian. Presbyterians, generally speaking, totally cool with pipe tobacco. It's almost expected, right?
Like, yeah, like kind of, they're the ones that, you know, own the liquor store, right?
That's right. It's not they're saying, hey, what can I get for you? Exactly.
Right.
But we were also Presbyterians in very much a Baptist like world, right? Mississippi is a Baptist state.
Yeah, sure.
So Baptists, on the flippity flop, they don't do the pipe tobacco publicly.
Well, historically, you know, that there is an element of temperance and abstinence in the culture, you know, and that type of thing. But I think historically that's certainly true. But over the past several years, as I've gotten to know a lot of the folks that are involved in that world, and there's been some changes there. There's been some loosening up around the periphery of that type of thing. Some acknowledgement of liberty. If it's for having a beer or two with a friend or in a ball game, or smoking your favorite English blend, and I think there's some of that that's just the case, if you're going to point to a stigma that has existed, or it's a reality that's existed for a long time, there is an element of that, but certainly I think you're seeing that loosen up some. Of course, one of the most famous pipe smoking evangelists of the 19th century was a Baptist minister, Charles Spurgeon, he known more for his cigar smoking, but was a pipe smoker. And I don't know if a lot of folks know this. Our former intern Timothy, who was with us many years ago, good friend of mine, still keep up with Timothy. He worked here
Tim
at the shop.
Tim the intern,
for,
the OG
Tim
man.
The intern, man. Yep, he was, and he's a great friend. And man, just working on his PhD now at Mid-America Seminary. I think that's in Kansas City. But he actually works at the Spurgeon Library up there, which is kind of neat. And they actually have, if I'm remembering this correctly, they have Charles Spurgeon's last cigar that he ever smoked. It's under a glass like dome.
What?
Isn't that
awesome?
Cool?
Yes.
Yeah. I know, man. It's really cool. It's like, man, they're actually acknowledging the fact that, this man enjoyed a good long filler cigar. So,
has Tim taken a selfie with it or anything like that?
Oh, I don't know. We probably need to make that happen.
I mean, that would be the case, right? Or maybe, okay. All right. You ever see that movie National Treasure?
Yeah.
What if we pulled
in and steal it from the seminary?
If we ever have the opportunity to pitch any kind of movie executives on a Country Squire radio movie, I say that's what we do. We pitch a National Treasure, but we're going to steal. No. Spurgeon's cigar, Tolkien's pipe. Wait, he had three nuns, right? Or was that Lewis?
Yeah. No, that was Lewis. That
all
was
right,
Lewis.
All right. So, and then Lewis's last 10 of three nuns. So we'll have this whole thing, and it'll be amazing. And if we do it, then we bring to life the spirit of Sherlock Holmes, who twist was a real person, but it was a mystery because Sherlock Holmes. Boom.
Boom. It's going to be dynamite.
Fund it, Hollywood. That's right. that's great, man. No, that's amazing. And that's good to hear. I mean, I do think that, one of the things that we've seen over the last few decades is kind of this response to like, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, denomination, you can't do that. And it's like, well, we're gonna. And then they do. And it's like, oh, well, you didn't, you're fine. Oh, you're actually ministering here. Oh, you haven't actually slid down the slippery slope that we thought you'd slide down into.
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about this pipe tobacco leaf. We'd love to hear.
It's interesting, there is, whole streams of debate about, what is, And again, our folks that are not involved in our, you know, kind of Christian circles or, you know, aware of some of these discussions or involved in any type of faith community, you know, this is maybe completely lost on you.
A lot of inside baseball on this one, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, tune into the next episode. We're sorry if everything is not really registering, which is just kind of the nature of it and is fine, I guess. But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of discussions on what, you know, what are you able to do around people where you don't know where they're at in their walk, or, you know, is it going to, you know, cause someone to stumble if I'm doing this, but they're not, you know, kind of able to receive that at the moment. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, folks talk about, you know, regarding, you know, the Christ revealing to St. Paul, like, you know, it's, you're able to do this in front of people, but, you know, just be careful about your weaker brother and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I think there's some valid discussions that are there, but we are seeing more and more openness regarding things like pipe smoking, things like, you know, drinking craft beer and right. and all that kind of stuff, you know, whiskey aficionados and things of that nature, you know, even within the church. So, you know, in my tradition, it's not that big of a deal, you know, and it just really right. never has been. Like the pipe is named after there is a pipe shape named after one of the officers of our church, which is a church warden.
Right. Yeah.
We're not bashful about the connection there. You know, we have wine at communion, and both my former priests were, you know, two of our dear customers. I think actually we've talked before about Parsons Blend, which was developed here for at our shop for Father Keith Allen, who is actually the priest that married me and my wife. And
blessed the shop, right?
Yeah, and blessed the shop as well. Yeah. Sure did when we had a rededication. But yeah, it, really cool. You know, it was just one of those things where that was a part of his way to feel comfortable connecting with folks. And also, whenever he came to the pipe shop, it was something where he could let his guard down and, you know, didn't, even though he might have been wearing his, you know, clerical collar or whatever, he didn't feel like he had to put on a show, or he could just kind of let his guard down and hang out with the guys and, you know, and be silly and, you know, experience fellowship himself, which, you know, pastors need too.
That's crucial.
It is crucial. I will say quickly, Parsons Blend was developed because Keith wanted something that his wife would let him smoke in the house. And so in our tradition, priests can be married, and it's very different from the Roman tradition. But so, you know, he was like, well, you know, I really just want something that, you know, is flavorful, but, you know, is not going to just smell like a Latakia bomb or something like that. And so so we developed Parsons Blend, and it was we developed his blend, and he liked it, and so we called it Parsons Blend, and it wound up on the shelf. Kind
of
neat.
I love that, man. I love that as a part of the history of the Country Squire in particular.
I have sent that specific tobacco, I have sent that directly to churches before. Like, I've sent it, you know, to such and such church, attention the pastor, kind of thing.
Oh, that makes sense. It's literally right there on the name.
Which makes me really happy.
Yeah, the marketing is yeah. right there. It's an invitation in and of itself. But no, man, you mentioned that community, and I think that that's so crucial, especially for pastors, especially for today. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been, you know, part of this pastoral search committee. And one of the things through discussions with some of these candidates that we've been talking to and people who have been, you know, working in ministry, you know, for many, their entire adult lives, entering into the year 2020, when so much of your job and your calling is about being with people, you know what I mean? And like being in relationship.
Yeah.
And that's been removed is so difficult. But the reality is, even before 2020, because of the pedestal that I think a lot of people end up putting pastors on, even the most, you know, like laid back denominations are the most, you know, theologically whatever denominations, everybody ends up putting a lot on the pastor's shoulders. And I think there's often, regardless sure. of where they are, this feel of like, when can I, you know, can I just be me? And I would say that for my part, the best pastors that I have seen are the ones that are able to really kind of be themselves. And to like not put on a yeah. front, you know, and I think that's yeah. probably true. I'm sure that that's not a aha moment to anybody that actually works in the field there. But I mean, like that, those are always the pastors that I'm like, you know, when they're just real with me, that's what's
yeah.
really
yeah.
powerful.
I think the pipe smoking pastor has a benefit or even advantage in that.
Well,
in
the
that
public
sense,
or
you know,
the private?
Because there
there's two different types of pipe smoking pastor. There's the public pipe smoking pastor and the private pipe smoking pastor.
Yeah, I guess I mean the public pipe smoking pastor, but certainly I think the private pipe smoking pastor, the one that doesn't feel comfortable maybe around other people smoking his pipe, but certainly enjoys it behind closed doors, just in some sense, so he can maybe write his sermons or focus on whatever it might be, or just relax, probably enjoys it, to benefit as well. But, I think the public pipe smoking pastor, if you want to put it that way, is someone that is more likely to connect with, people around him, to experience life the way others are experiencing it, to, just have that common basis there. I think that's what makes pipe shop conversations so interesting. You go in your tobacconist and you're going to have some type of fascinating conversation, because there's always that element that's going to keep it going. And a lot of times it's the pipe itself. You're all sitting around with people that are, dramatically different from you in every single way. Just like we are on Country Squire Radio, we're sitting on this podcast where, we're talking with a community all across the world, and discussing, they're even giving us the grace to discuss something that they might not be interested in, but they do it because we always come back to this baseline, and the same thing with sports or finance or geopolitics or whatever it might be. And so the pipe provides this kind of thread that can run through all these conversations that makes it easy to connect with people. And it's a sense in which, okay, well, I hate to call it peer pressure, but it's kind of like, oh, he's smoking a pipe too. Well, he must be approachable and someone that we can talk to and that kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a conversation starter. When longtime listeners of the show know that you and I met each other through a Bible study that was at your house, where we smoked more pipes than we read the Book of John.
Right.
But we had some great discussions. And I mean, I think that was part of, when you're kind of given that time to breathe, so to speak, you get some time to really kind of meditate on the word and kind of reflect on your own life and the process. And man, just some incredible conversations came out of that study. And I know you've seen the Country Squire, man, people coming in, for various retreats, men's retreats or pastoral get-togethers. I mean, I know you've got like a whole like book of stories there.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. I in my shop, literally this very minute, is I'm in the back recording our podcast here today, our episode today. And up front, just left two African-American pastors that are sitting at our tobacco bar, smoking cigars, hanging out, just kind of taking their Monday a little easy. A lot of pastors take Mondays off as their kind of weekend day, And so and it's fun, seeing those folks interact and be laid back. I know one of our mutual friends and some that we know that pastors a local church here. We'll see him about once a week, kind of later in the week when he's putting the finishing touches up on his sermon. He'll put his headphones on, grab his pipe, and go sit in the corner and finish that those thoughts and get them on paper. And he's done with the sermon when the whiskey comes out.
I love it, man.
That's right. That's right.
I know exactly who you're talking about too.
And you like that, yeah. Absolutely. You like that. We also, it's neat too as a way for these ministry related folks to connect as well. Being in the South, we have our own story as far as history and challenges and all this other stuff, and it's cool because a shop like the Squire, we attract folks from diverse background, and so I've seen it multiple times where, Christians that maybe don't worship together on Sunday, they interact maybe the only time with each other ever in a shop like here, And so it's interesting. Yeah. Just the other day I saw a African-American pastor and a white pastor, and they were like, dude, let's go get lunch next week and let's talk about ministry and stuff. And, what are y'all doing? Maybe our churches can do some stuff together. And, that happened in our shop. I think that's awesome. I just think that's neat. I'm honored that we could be a part of something like
kindred of this pipe, man. It crosses denominations, races, socioeconomical faiths, politics. It is the great unifier. But not to get heretical, but no, there's
yeah, it may not save your soul, but it will calm it down a little bit. Yeah.
That needs to be a tagline. That's good.
We'll make a t-shirt out of that. It may not save your soul, but it'll calm you down a little bit.
There you go. I love it. Well, hey, man, this is, it's a fun subject, and it's one that I certainly enjoy talking about. And I do want to be clear because, you know, we do have, you know, pastors who've written into the show. We've got pastors who are very, you know, public about that fact. And those that, you know, for concern, I don't want to say for fear of, but for concern of their congregation, they want to keep it kind of on the down low. And while I do think that there is something to be said for, you know, being who you are in effort to best to preach and minister to your congregation. Yeah, I don't want to ever like shame somebody. You know what I mean? Like if someone's saying like, "Oh, I'm worried I'd be shamed by my congregation." Well, I don't want to shame you right back for, you know, not being willing to smoke in front of your congregation.
Yeah, sure. Everyone's got to work out their sensibilities about this kind of thing. And you know your people and you know your own heart, you know, and kind of where you're located on the spectrum, and you know the Lord has given you liberty to, you know, some things are set in stone and some things are for you to kind of muddle through and figure out and do in faith and walk in humility. And so we wish you the best along that. We're just glad you listen to CSR while you're doing it.
Absolutely, man. So hopefully our brothers in the Briar, as well as our brothers in Christ, hopefully they feel represented well in this episode, and I'm sure we'll get emails. So it'll be good. But if y'all enjoyed this, if y'all, you know, we kind of kicked around the idea of possibly doing more of like specific spotlights, possibly even having some Pie Spoken pastors on. If that's something you're interested in, let us know. If it's something you're not interested in, let us know. I would much rather get those emails ahead of making content than get them after the fact. Ewoks. Oh, sorry, man. Something stuck in my throat there. So by all means, let us know your thoughts. Hopefully y'all have enjoyed this. But let me tell you something I know that every single person here is going to enjoy, is currently enjoying, or should be enjoying.
What, Bo?
And that is the fine products from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. That is right. And of course, it is December, which is Christmas time. And Missouri Meerschaum, of course, is not sitting on the sidelines. They're pushing full force with all the gifts and great things for the holidays that you can check out with them and support their company, an American company, a pipe smoking tradition. And one thing they're doing in December is really cool. 25 days of giving. If you go to corncobpipe.com once a day for the rest of December up until Christmas Day, you can actually enter to win daily prizes that they're giving away. Anything from Missouri Meerschaum gift sets to merchandise like hats and tumblers and all kinds of fun stuff like that. T-shirts. They're giving away a lot of cool stuff and one every single day going on now all the way through December 25th. And so check that out. Go to corncobpipe.com. If you have smoked corncob pipes before, but have never been to Missouri Meerschaum's website, I encourage you to check it out. You know, you may be familiar with the company, with the best corncob pipes in the world, but go to their website. We want you to see it. I mean, they've got a really just a wealth of information here, products you might not be aware that they make, and of course they'll do occasionally fun giveaways and promotions like the 25 Days of Giving, which they're doing this Christmas. So go check it out, corncobpipe.com. And if you post it on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or any of that other stuff, be sure to mention that that we sent you.
That's right. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in from Josh this week, who says, "Good afternoon, JD and Bo. I recently got a super rare block of Morta from Vermont Freehand a few weeks ago and was wanting to make a real amber stem for the Morta pipe. I've looked around a bit for an amber rod and have not been able to find one." So I guess the question really here is about looking for where would one go about locating an amber rod to work on a custom pipe. We actually did an episode on amber fairly recently, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, within the past year, we did an episode on amber, and I would point you to that, Josh, to that episode. We actually, at the chance of you finding raw amber material to make a stem out of is virtually nil. You know, if you can, I mean, just to be honest with you, and frankly, the history of amber stems and how delicate they are and all that kind of stuff, if it were me to go with that beautiful block of mortar that you've got, man, get you a beautiful yellow lucite that kind of mimics the the effects of that amber and roll with that, man. Amber can be just a real pain, but yeah, it'd be difficult. The first people I would call would be the folks at Vermont Freehand, and they are literally the gold standard of pipe making materials, in the pipe world, for particularly for American carvers. They just do such a good job. So I would check with them, but if they can't point in the right direction, then you can't be pointed in that direction. And frankly, right. I think it's going to be really hard to find amber, certainly in an amber rod. This is just a material that is not just antiquated, it's ancient, it's, incredibly fragile. Even if it does make it that long, the chances of it being in good shape are small. And so, I don't know. Yeah, my sense is you might have a better chance of, diving and searching for pearls than you will finding a amber, amber worthy of making a pipe stem out of. But anyway, good luck to you. That's all I can say is you're probably not going to find it.
Oh, man, we don't give bad news all that often, but we're not afraid to do it, I suppose.
Hey, no, we're not. And frankly, if you're a pipe maker and you're listening and you've got the hookup on some amber and know where to point Josh, we'd love to hear from you. But yeah, my sense is that you'd be more likely to find like bakelite or horn or some other kind of exotic material that is not just lucite or ebonite to make that with. You'd be much more likely to find those types of things than you would real amber. And I don't know where to point you, to be honest with you, but it is a material that is going to be difficult to work with. And if you do find some and you make a beautiful pipe out of it and you really want to keep that pipe in pristine condition, just don't smoke it.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, hey, hopefully that was helpful. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to find you one, Josh. But yeah, definitely go check out that episode that we did fairly recently. I want to say it's like called Jurassic Pipe or something like that.
I like that. Yeah.
That seems like what I would have named it. I think that's right. But go check it out, Josh. And thanks for your question. Hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question, Jones. I did it kind of weird there with but it just kind of happened.
This is just kind of a weird day.
It's been a day. This is right. All right. We're getting into the Christmas season. I thought, let's do a little bit of a Christmas edition. You ready for this?
Okay, nice. Yeah.
All right, here we go. The big meal, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Day. We're a day of Christmas Day meal. But, like around lunchtime, kind of a late lunch, let's get together at 1 or 2 kind of thing.
So, I do remember at my grandparents' house, Christmas Day was like a big feast because that was like when everybody got there, the uncles and the aunts and the cousins and everybody brought their toys and we all played and all that kind of stuff. That said, I'm a Christmas Eve for the big meal kind of guy, mostly because in my terrible, admittedly, opinion, Christmas is basically over at 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. For me, that's kind of like you're done. You did the thing. Like, the season is great. I love the Advent. I love the buildup and all the different celebrations and the parties and the traditions and everything else and Santa Claus and all the kind of great stuff. And then you get there and it's like, okay, everybody's presents. As soon as the presents are open, it's like, all right, we're done. With that, I'm going to rest
here. Time to go take a nap. Yeah, yes, I want to refill an eggnog and I'm going to go to sleep.
That's right. You sleep the rest of the day so that you can get ready to clean up the next day. Because the second that Christmas is over, the Christmas tree looks tacky. So you got to deal with that.
Agreed.
All right, dinner, goose or turkey?
Turkey. I like the idea of goose, but I don't I don't think I've ever had goose on Christmas, so I'll go with turkey because we, you know, that's more common.
Gotcha. All right, we're gonna do goose this year, so I'll let you know how that goes. I've never tried it either, but
yeah, let me know.
Gonna try it this year. Cookies for Santa, chocolate chip or sugar cookies?
I'll go with chocolate chip. Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, I'm more likely to have that, I think, in my arsenal at home of sweet things that I keep tucked away for myself. So
wow. I'll go with chocolate chip. Okay, okay. That's you're trying to get those last minute points with Santa.
Brownie points, yeah.
Yeah. The chocolate chip, like I'll be honest, and I hope this doesn't hurt my Christmas list if Santa's listening. I typically reserve the chocolate chip for myself and give them the sugar cookies because the chocolate chip cookies are so good. he's got a lot of cookies, you know, like sugar cookies.
Right.
It's the that they're healthy. Anyway,
you keep the good ones for you.
I keep the good ones for myself. Yeah. So sugar cookies for Santa. Advent. Do y'all do Advent candle? Sometimes a wreath or calendar.
We do the candles. Yeah, we do the wreath, which is kind of a nice tradition.
Yeah, no, we do the candles as well, and yeah, I've actually been piecing together kind of a custom devotional over the years as we've done it. I'm just kind of putting together some different things, mostly because I always forget about it until last minute, and I'm like, "Where's my notes from last year?" And then I start working on one, and then I find my notes from last year, and then I kind of combine the two, and yeah. But if anybody asks, it's very very well researched from years researched, if you can see it. But yeah, we do candles as well. And then finally, Christmas Carol, or rather A Christmas Carol, talking about, you know, the classic, holiday classic. Which version
Dickens, yeah.
is y'all's family version? Talking about movies here.
Let's see. I'm you know me, I'm not a big movie person, but I think there was a cartoon one, wasn't there?
Well, you talking about Mickey Mouse's A Christmas Carol?
Is that it? Was there like one with Donald Duck in it or something?
Yeah, it's Scrooge McDuck. In fact, Scrooge
McDuck.
Yeah, he gets his name from A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that one. That's the one.
That's the one. That's a good one. That's a really good one. It's short, but it's really good. Yep. I'm a Muppet Christmas Carol guy all the way. I will fight anybody who says that is not the greatest Christmas Carol version of all time. I mean, I won't like fight, but I will fight.
Like St. Nicholas did.
Just like St. Nicholas. Santa's not getting me anything this year.
Right.
Well, those are quick fire questions from us. Hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, be sure to send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I do. All right. So the user handle here is Cross Freak. We did not mean for this to be the overly Christian episode. It just kind of ended up happening.
Yeah.
So
our poor listeners, again, who are not, just, you know, bear with us. Grit your teeth and get through this for a little bit. We're certainly not ashamed of who we are, but we're going kind of heavy on this episode.
Yeah, yeah, we realize that. We do. Man, all right, what did Cross Freak have to say?
A really good podcast. This podcast has been so helpful. I began smoking a pipe last fall, and as someone who doesn't live near a decent pipe shop, the advice given in the show has been invaluable for me in my pipe smoking journey. I discovered the show in April and have listened to at least half the back catalog by now. I recommend the show to anyone who smokes a pipe. Keep up the great work. And that's from CrossFreak 269. And man, that's great. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. And then also we've got another one from iTunes as well, which is from Dave in LAX.
Yeah, Dave from Los Angeles. I enjoy CSR. I'm a longtime pipe collector, and I really enjoy the CSR podcast every week. Great sound quality. And so I will give that all to my friend Bo York and to our precious producer, Mike, who does such a good job.
He goes above and beyond. We love him. Yeah, and so thank you so much. That feedback is so, so good. And hey, if you have not done so already, head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great way to help out the show. But if you are able to also help out the show financially, we financially greatly appreciate it. Head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can join the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, keeping us on the air every single week without fail for years now. A large number. I mean, not like a mega large number, but like a large number. You weren't a parent back then.
Yeah, I wasn't even a 30-year-old back
then. It's been some time, absolutely. And that is 100% because of the amazing support of our amazing patrons. So again, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio where you too can learn how to help out the show. Also, you can follow us throughout the week. You can follow us on the Twitters. I'm at the real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
Also, the show's handle is @squireradio, but all that information and more, as well as how you can nominate this year's Best of 2020, can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this is I had a lot of fun this episode, which probably means a lot of people hated it, but I really enjoyed it.
No, it's good. It's always interesting to dive into different pipe smoking subcultures, really. I mean, they're there, and certainly they make up a big part of our community, folks that are involved in certain things that and then they kind of rally around multiple things along with the pipe. I think that's kind of fun, and we see that in our different Facebook groups and in our forums that we're on. Collections of people within pipe smoking that make it fun and interesting. Of course, people of faith are right in there with it, and folks that are in pastoral ministry and vocational ministry and counseling and all kinds of helping roles, they're an important part of our pipe community, and I think always will be.
Yeah, and man, I would actually love to hear too from folks outside of our particular faith community how the pipe has impacted your relationships and your faith community and that sort of thing. It's a world in which I don't have a lens, so I would love to learn more. So feel free to send those stories into the show as well.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know about you, but I got some more trees that need trimming and stockings that need stuffed and
presents that need to be wrapped and all that.
Presents need to be bought.
Right.
Well, all right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.